Welcome to the Know Nothing Music Show. Thank you very much for listening. This is our weekly music podcast where we get together, nerd out about various music and bands and news-related articles, and ramble on and on for about 50 minutes on the dot, almost always. So thank you very much for listening. If you like what you hear, please add this feed to your pod feeder. Thank you.
Hey everybody, this is Tom, and across from me is Tim.
Howdy.
Hey, this week we're going to do a short episode, no news. It's the beginning of the year, so we're going to start off our little, I'd say about a month or so project where we're going to look at a bunch of services, streaming services like Rhapsody or the Zune service, or Lala or whatever, and look at them for about a week. Each of us is going to pick one and then let you know how they rate, you know, cons versus pros, good versus bad. And this week we started off with, I've picked Rhapsody, which has been around for about a decade, and Tim picked the Zune player because he's one of, I think, maybe 100 12. People that have it. So we toyed around with them for a week. And we're going to let you know how they rate up. And I think at the end of this whole thing, we should probably give our, you know, top ones that we liked. But being that it's our first two, let's just get into it. Tim, do you want to start it off with the Zune player?
Sure, of course. Zune Network, or Zune Pass, as this is called. Now, first, I'm going to start off just by saying that it's not just limited to the Zune player. You can use other media players, other MP3 players, but they need to support what's known as the Plays for Shore certification, which is essentially a form of DRM, digital rights management, that works with .WMA, which is the Windows music file format, very confusing, isn't it? Windows file format that is, well, it's a copyrighted piece of information that won't play on just everything and won't let you use it in every way you want. I'll go ahead and explain in just a second. All right, with that in mind, there are a handful of other players that supposedly may work for it. And by may, I mean you're definitely going to want to do your research beforehand, especially if you have something that's a little off-brand. Even if it does play WMA, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for Zune. So like I said, do your research. There's plenty of information out there on the webs. But just to give you a little heads up, I know Arcos, Cohen, Palm, SanDisk, Sony, Pioneer, there's a handful of, like I said, of these MP3 players, as well as specific phones that may support Zune Pass. All right, I wanted to mention that right away because, as Tom kind of hinted at up front, Zune and the Zune Pass is something that I'm sure not a ton of people are all that familiar with. I'm sure you know what a Zune is. It's the Microsoft version of the iPod. Of course, just by saying that is kind of a big hint as to where the market share lies. Obviously, most people are familiar and own an Apple iPod. And it's kind of funny because I know in another podcast I was listening, someone just in passing said about their Zune, and someone was giving them a little bit of crap for it, and he's like, well, I got it for free. I'm like, I got mine for free too. Which leads me to believe, who would go out and buy the Zune if not for... Well, it does have price. They are trying to do their best to compete with the Touch now. But at the same time, what do they really offer? Well, this isn't going to be me talking about the Zune in general. This is going to be me talking about the Zune Pass, which is the online music service that Microsoft offers for the Zune and a few a few various MP3 players, as I already mentioned. Okay. First thing first, what do they offer and how much does it cost? Well, your cost is going to be roughly $15 a month, $14.99. So that's going to be your monthly fee. What do they offer? Well, obviously you're going to have access to millions of songs. And you can use it as a kind of a, it's like a pay-as-you-go service. In other words, you pay it by the month, and for each month that you keep your account good, you can keep the songs that you download. And keep in mind, you can download about 90%, I would say, just from browsing around, probably 90, a little bit more, percent of their catalog and have that on your music player at any given time. Now, the other maybe about 5 to 10%, that's going to be music that they don't allow for free streaming. You actually have to pay for those tracks if you want to listen to them. And it's not just whole albums that you have to buy. Oddly enough, there are some tracks within albums that you can listen to. You know, it's a 10-track album. You can listen to 9 tracks. It's an odd, like, track number 2 that you actually have to pay for. I believe a good example was A Place to Bury Strangers, Head Explodes. I think that, in fact, was one track of that album you actually had to pay for if you want to listen to, but the rest you could actually just stream online or download to your computer and have it so you can load onto your MP3 player, like I mentioned. All right, so that in mind, what else do you get with the service? Well, like I said, you can download various tracks on their streaming service and have those ready for your MP3 player to take those with you on the go. Or you can go ahead and purchase said songs. Like I already said, you can purchase any of the songs really on their service, and those will always be good for you, and you can burn those to CDs, you can do whatever you want. In fact, you download those as MP3, and as far as I can tell, there's no DRM on those songs. Unlike the songs that you download and you don't pay for, you just get them on your regular service, those are downloaded as WMA files. And you have to keep up your subscription in order to listen to those. If you let your subscription lapse, well, then you won't be able to listen to those songs after, that month ends. So, okay, that in mind, what else do they offer? One nice thing I did like about this service, I like the idea that with each month for the $15 fee, they give you 10 tracks that you can download and keep. Now, those songs are downloaded as MP3s, and usually at a higher bit rate than the songs that you download as regular WMA files. I believe the regular songs that you download on their kind of pay-as-you-go service for your monthly fee, those are about 196 kbps, which is still a very good quality. Definitely a heck of a lot better than iTunes. When iTunes first came out, they since upped their bitrate. But just to give you a something for comparison, when iTunes first came out, that was only at 128 kbps. So definitely a jump up in sound quality. And if you never heard the audio difference between 128 and lossless, then you're not going to miss anything. In fact, like I said, it's pretty good if that's just the what you get free with the subscription. Now, like I said, if you purchase an MP3, those are at about 256 kbps. Definitely a jump up from there, twice what twice the 128, obviously. So, getting that info out of the way, let's get down to the meat and potatoes. I know that's a lot of kind of heady crap that a lot of people don't really care all that much about. They want to hear, is it a good service? And does it work? First of all, let's start with that idea. Does it work? I actually had some problems, and I'm not the only one. I read online people having problems just downloading the setup file for the Zune Pass, or for the Zune program itself. Now, the setup file, it's kind of awkward because I have Windows 7. It's the release candidate, and theoretically, it should work just fine. Well, like I said, I tried Firefox, I tried Internet Explorer, I could not get the darn thing to download. I went online and I found out, again, I'm not the only person having this problem. It probably has something to do with the way I connect to the Internet. But I tried a few little troubleshooting techniques, and I couldn't quite get it to work. Well, since I did have a Zune, and I did have the Zune player nonetheless, I do have it on an old Dell laptop, I believe a Dell Latitude. Now, it has a 1400 gigahertz processor with 2 gigabytes of RAM. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's kind of slow, definitely by today's terms. It's just a really cheap, old, small laptop that I use just to sync my Zune with, you know, various podcasts and various music, and I also use it at home as a media server. Well, like I said, it's pretty slow, and considering I don't mess around with it too much, it's not that big of a deal. But when I actually had to sit down and use the Zune player, which I'll get to in a second, it was really slow. Well, that second's up. The Zune player, we've always complained how we don't like iTunes because it's gotten so fat and bulky over the years. I believe it's like an 80 gigabyte, or not 80 gigabyte, 80 megabyte program. Well, and I think it's even gotten bigger. Like the last time I used it, was about 80 megabytes. I think it's closer to 100 now. The Zune player was like 120 megabyte. Okay.
I have a quick
question.
Okay,
go ahead, jump in anytime.
With that 100, did it crash a lot?
Not really. Over the years I've been using it, no, it's actually been pretty stable. It actually has been pretty stable, surprisingly enough. But a couple of things I wanted to make quick mention of since we're talking about it. The big head-scratcher, since Zune is not really friendly with other OSs. Obviously, it's made by Microsoft. Why did they make a separate media player? They already have Windows Media Player installed by default on your computer. Why make me download another 120 megabyte program? Why can't you just basically made some add-ons for Windows Media Player and build it on top of what it's already pre-existing on your computer? That never really made sense to me. Plus, Windows Media Player actually, I mean, it works perfectly with DRM. I believe you can probably... stop me if I'm incorrect, but couldn't you also use Windows Media Player with Rhapsody at one point? I could have sworn they did. So, yeah, they would work hand-in-hand because they both handle DRM. All right. Just one weird little niggling little thing. So... anyway, using the program, here's the other thing I was going to mention. One thing I do kind of like about the Zune media player, well, one thing, visually, it's actually very nice. It looks great. It definitely looks like, it's running in Flash. I mean, it's a very graphically pleasing program. Now, unfortunately, I'm using it on a very small laptop, and unfortunately, a lot of things kind of got scrunched down because I think everything's 800 by 600 in my resolution. But at the same time, it still does look very good. And that and the other thing I do commend them on, because I've used a handful of media players, that's for sure. Even though it is bulky, I'll give them this. At least they didn't copy the iTunes program like so many others have, be it Winamp or Media Monkey, and there's quite a few others that it's all the same. You got the tree on the left hand side, and then you got the, you know, the couple sections for the artists and then the albums. There is something similar to that in there. It is kind of similar, but at the same time, they give it their own little, they do their own little take on it. And like I said, they don't exactly rip off iTunes like everyone else does. Even several programs I run in Linux all kind of steal from that very basic iTunes look. So I do commend them, and it, even though I will say, especially coming off of all these other media players, there is a bit of a learning curve, but once you get used to it, it becomes secondhand very fast, and it is pretty easy to get at what you want, be it in your collection, be it in the marketplace, or in the settings, or in the social aspect of it. All right. Now, the other big thing that's important about this media player slash music service is the social aspect. That I kind of like what they're doing with it. Now, by social aspect, I mean what they're doing with it. It reminds me, it's very much akin to Last FM, where it kind of tracks the music you listen to. It even lets you know how many plays particular songs get, which is nothing new. But at the same time, you could, it can kind of label you as a fan of a particular artist if it realizes that you've listened to this album about 12 times in the past 3 days. It just knows that, hey, you like this, you might like that. I've always felt that one of my favorite things with some of these online music networks is, okay, maybe not so much the social aspect, but I do like, and I think Amazon was the first one to do this, where it's the, if you like this, you might like that. In other words, it looks at what other people looked at, you know, who've looked at this artist or this song and said, well, a lot of people also listen to this. So it's just a kind of way of suggesting new music to you. That's something that I actually really enjoy, and I think is great for people who just want to find new great artists out there that they might have never heard of before, and it really opens your world very fast. When you look up an artist, you get tons of information. You get the bios on the artist, you get the recommendations, and then you get the social groups and see who are fans of this artist, and then you can follow those people, see what they listen to, what's in their library, and it grows from there. Now, personally, I'm not that crazy about finding other people and seeing, okay, who listens to what. Again, this might be a heck of a lot more interesting if more people use the Zune and use the Zune network. But you know, right now, that's kind of a moot point. I don't see them catching up anytime soon. They might hold a decent market share for a while, but at the same time, hey, what are you going to do? All right, and the last but not least part of my little rundown for the Microsoft Zune Network. Well, what songs do they offer? And the best way to describe their library, or the best way for me to test their library, I should say, I actually went down the list of not just the top 10 artists that we just covered last week. In the last episode, we did our year-end top 10 albums. I actually expanded it to the top 25 that I was talking about, as well as a few other oddball artists that I was just thinking of, a few major artists, and I even went through a couple of Tom's picks, too, just to kind of see if I couldn't throw Zune for a loop. Long and short, it actually passed with flying colors. I was surprised. All of my top 10 albums, I think only one was missing, Immaculate Machine High in Jackson Hill, which was not available. But at the same time, an older album of theirs was available. For most of my runners-up for my top picks of the year, I think only a couple I could not find. I was actually very surprised to find a handful. For instance, Venice is Sinking was an artist that's kind of oddball, kind of not too popular. Yeah, they had it, as well as several of their previous albums that I haven't even listened to yet. So I was actually very, very surprised. One big disappointment, I think, for Tom and I would have been no Bill Callahan. They only had a couple tracks he did for a couple different soundtracks and collections. So that in mind, at least the nice thing of even if an artist that they don't have, you can start there at an artist that they don't have. For instance, Bill Callahan. They usually do have bio information on these people, and then they'll have recommendations for other, because it'll look, it's a little bit intrusive, but they'll look on your system, say, hey, you listen to this artist, even though we don't have it, well, what else do you listen to that we do have? And it will recommend that to other people. So I think that's kind of neat. So you'll be able to find other artists, even if they don't have the one artist you're looking for. You might find someone else that you like almost as well. All right, just to kind of sum it up, and usually we don't give like letter grades or star ratings or anything like that, but I think this is something that kind of warrants some sort of rating. I would definitely give this one a B+. If you can get it to work on your computer, you do get the 14-day free trial. And like I said, with every month that you're with these guys, you get 10 free tracks. Now, that's kind of clever by them, because how many albums are only 10 tracks? Chances are you'll take a couple extra dollars out of pocket to finish buying that album. And the other thing about that, those 10 tracks, that's non-transferable. In other words, if you don't use 10 of your tracks 1 month, they're gone the next. So those, next month you won't have 20, you'll just have 10.
So they really force you. They use game theory.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing I was going to mention, that I recently started using a service called Remember the Milk, which is just a online service where you can put a to-do list, and you can put dates, and you have things repeat. It's actually really neat. If you haven't tried using it, you should check them out. Like I said, you're free to sign up for. And what's nice about that is it can text me or email me or both. Like I have it for my bills every month. It'll let me know 3 days in advance, hey, you better find some money somewhere because bills are due. So that's something I would definitely recommend getting, some sort of free reminder service that reminds you, every month, hey, find 10 tracks, any 10 tracks, just so you don't lose them. Because, like I said, that is big. And at 256 kbps, I'm very much an audiophile. I'm very much an audio nerd. That's actually a very good bit rate. On an average system, you're not going to hear the difference between that and lossless. Many people may argue they can, but quite frankly, anything past 196 is very tough, even for my ears. And again, I have thousands of dollars in audio gear. So it's very negligible at that point. So yeah, for what you get, that's not bad. The end-all rating, B+, but I'm going to put a big buyer beware. Make sure your music player will work with it, and if you have a Zune, you might as well get it, because, it's not like you have very many choices in life. obviously we know that Zune, Microsoft in general, does not play well with Apple, so you might as well go ahead, break down, get that service. I think it's worth the money. It's going to be about, a little shy of $200 a year, but considering you're getting, 120 free tracks a year, it evens out. And like I said, if you really, really want to keep up with a lot of music, it's the way to go. Yes, they don't have all the songs that you're going to be looking for. You're not going to find a lot of these small, small MySpace bands on there. One of the biggest disappointments, if any, when looking for music, is that I couldn't find Reverend Horton Heat. I was just in a Reverend Horton Heat mood, and they didn't have any Reverend Horton Heat. Oh well, big deal. I was really surprised when, like I said, out of all the top 10 artists of the year, I found every artist on there minus, you know, like I said, with Immaculate Machine, I just didn't find that one album. I found a previous one for them. So, all that being said, I think a solid B+ for Zune. There's definitely room for improvement. You know, the catalog can always get bigger and better. They didn't have a lot of artists like Haiku de Ta, but again, these are small groups. These are people, you know, people you won't find on many, many networks. So, good, but it's really something that's only for a small group of people who actually have the hardware to run it. So, all right, that said, Tom, let's hear about the Rhapsody Network, because you and I have both used Rhapsody in the past, so I'm kind of curious what they have new, if anything.
Yeah, both I and Tim used Rhapsody probably about five,
it's
6 years.
It's Tim and I.
Tim and I, whatever. both of us used Rhapsody about say 4 or 5 years ago.
It's been several years, definitely.
Rhapsody is sort of the granddaddy of these. It's been around since 2001, mm-hmm. So it's 10 years old. I used it for about I'd say from about maybe its inception. I was one of the earlier adopters of it.
You turned me on to it. So
it in the beginning it had a lot of bugs. But one thing was nice was the size of its catalog. It has, I believe, about 5 million songs. the subscription is it's $12.99 a month. You get a 14-day free trial. And you have you can actually import your the music you have on your computer onto Rhapsody, so you can play your music through Rhapsody without having to go through another player. It does not offer support for your iPod. That's one of the problems I had with it. I'll get to that when I get my cons. It has a radio where you can listen to different genre radios. It gives you a music guide. You can make your music guide. Say you like metal. It will look for metal bands. One of the cool things with Rhapsody is it breaks everything down into genres, or when you're playing a different artist, it at the bottom it'll say, if you like this album, you might like these albums. More often than not, I've heard of if there's five of them, I've heard about two of them, and there's always that pick of, oh, I haven't heard of this band before, and then you go down that rabbit hole. It does have it has playlists, unlike the iTunes or the sorry, not the iTunes, the Zune network. It's not open to the. It's not. It doesn't have the same open aspect like Last.fm where like. That Tim talked about. It's pretty much closed. The only type of recommendations you get are from the people like the editors or whoever runs Rhapsody. As far as catalogs go, I sort of did the same thing Tim did. I went down the list of albums we've listened to over the years, and of those, I had troubles with finding one, and oddly enough, it was the same one as Tim. Could not find Bill Callahan on Rhapsody. Had Smog. I believe it had maybe a soundtrack from Bill Callahan. Let me check right now.
And yeah, I should mention that, to keep that in mind, that doesn't have so much to do with Rhapsody or Zune. It's a lot more to do with the labels, yeah. And who's scratching whose back.
Yeah, that's
the
thing. That's a thing I should mention. Back in 2002, Rhapsody, or Real Networks, who is the parent company that runs Rhapsody, acquired license from EMI, BMG, Warner Brothers Records, and Sony. So there are quite a bit of labels they do have. They also added Universal that same year. So they do have the big players. I'm sure if I went and searched more, there'd be other lesser-known artists that it wouldn't have. But for the average user, I think you are pretty well covered as far as what you're going to hear and what you're going to get on here. One of the big points against it is, of course, it doesn't support the iPod. When I plugged my iPod into it, it would crash after about 20 seconds. Every time, no fail, could not. I soon figured out there was no reason to have my iPod plugged in there anyhow, because the one problem I have with this service is, if I'm going to pay, let's say, $12 a month or 13, well, it comes up to about $13 a month with taxes. There's no incentive for me to buy albums because they cost about the same as Amazon. And I don't get anything for my paying extra. Mm-hmm. I don't get what Tim does on with the Zune, where for every month I'm there, I get a certain number of free tracks.
Yeah, which are yours to keep.
Exactly. I'm paying essentially over a year's time, about, I think, the same as Tim, maybe more or less. I should be able to get maybe a couple tracks here and there just for the effort of me being a subscriber. The other thing is, I haven't been on this network, or I haven't been with Rhapsody for about 6 years, and it really hasn't changed that much. The interface is pretty much the same, except it's a little updated, probably graphically. It looks sort of nice, but pretty much the one issue Tim said with Winamp and all those other ones, it does the same thing. It has your catalog on the left and the different stuff on the top, and you just pull it down, and yeah. The other main thing is there's a really good article from CNET Reviews, and I'll link to that in this show. It's from Jasmine France. There's some transfer hangups. I didn't experience that because, of course, I can't transfer anything to my iPod. It's generally buggy, and if I can remember right, when I did use Rhapsody a lot back in about 6 years ago, that was the one issue that was really annoying. It's a general buggy system. They haven't come and decided to fix it. I said music ownership. There's nothing there for me to buy anything from them. It's nice to have about a million or so tracks every month that I can listen to on my computer, but really it's not an incentive after those 14-day free trial to stay with it. There's no reason for me to stay with it because I can't take any of these tracks I listen to on my computer and take them out of my iPod, which... 9 times out of 10, I only listen to music on my iPod if I'm not doing anything that day. I'm not going to buy from Rhapsody when I can go to Amazon and easily transfer my songs from Amazon to my computer. The other thing is, being that it's been around for so long, I would have expected it to update its service, have more smaller labels. It's been around. It's already got the major, the big daddies on there. Why don't you go the extra mile and get these little labels and give the average or the music person the extra reason to go to Rhapsody? And why haven't they talked to iTunes or Microsoft or people from Apple to say, hey, we need to figure out something. You're the top MP3 player. Everybody has you. Is there some way for you? Because the MP3 players it supports, probably 2 out of every 10 people have that. 9 times out of 10, if you ask somebody what they have, they'll tell you, I have an iPod. And I'm not going to use Rhapsody if I can't transfer songs to it to my iPod. There's a lot of little things. It's been around for so long. It could have taken cues from other places like Last.fm and open it up where, you know, other Rhapsody players could be, hey, you know, like this guy, whatever, he likes this, or you can talk to them or they can give you stuff. Make it more, you know, community-based where, hey, you know, I've been on this for so long here, da da da. Just, there's a lot of things, little things that Rhapsody doesn't do well or just overlooks that make it less of a player to really use. I think in the short end of it, if I had my pick, I would probably go and use the Zune player. It sounds like from what Tim said, it has more of the things that the average MP3 listener wants, with less of the hang-ups and more cookies at the end of the month.
Yeah.
This just has technical hiccups, ownership problems, and just general nothing. There's general, like,
lack of perks, you would say?
Lack of perks, lack of vision to be like, hey, you know, the other startups are doing this. We've been around. Why can't we do this? You know, we're the sort of the big guy in the block. We've been around doing it for the longest. You know, let's, you know, we can knock these guys off. And, I mean, why haven't they taken on the on Apple? Why haven't they gone up to them and been like, hey, let's iron this out. It's money for you. It's money for us. Let's do something. I don't know why they haven't. They have all these little ones, but that means diddly squat to me. And with the lack with that, and with what I feel is a lack of vision on the interface, I think I have to give it probably a C minus, maybe even a D. There's no reason for me to go out and get it. You can one of the okay things is it has DRM, or what it calls Harmony. You can, once you subscribe, you can put Rhapsody on 3 computers. And there's something about you can share music with your friends. I don't know how you can do that if you can't really buy music. Well, the only way I can think of that is, well, you can put it on your friend's computer and they can use your subscription. That's about it. No real reason for me to recommend it. No reason to use it after the 14 days. And first off, with the 14 days, you get twenty-five free tracks, which, if you think about it, is only maybe 2 albums. I used those free tracks within about 3 days, and they reset every 26 days. So if you don't do that 14 days, and then you're like, oh, you forget about it, you come back in like a month, you have 25 new songs. Big whoop. After that, you get 30-second little teasers. You still get to use the service. You can still look around. But with 30-second trailer teasers, it's really no use. And unless you really like the service for, you know, listening to music on your computer, I don't see any reason to buy it. C minus D. I'd rather toy around with the Zune.
Yeah. Now the other thing that you can probably add on to that, I'm actually just kind of browsing over an article here. It's kind of an old one from 08, but it was talking about the Rhapsody Network over Verizon, the mobile music. That would be another thing to think about.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you get a song on VCast, you can get you can transfer the song to your phone. I didn't talk about that because you know, it's, I see that more as a option given to you by Verizon, and Rhapsody just, you know, haphazardly just signed in and said, hey, let's do this. It's a couple extra bucks a month.
That's something that I'm kind of looking over here, and what I was going to end up with in my thought was, it looks like what Verizon's going to be offering, or Verizon offers, is, and keep in mind, neither of us have used this service with our phones. Actually, it looks a little bit better because they're offering DRM-free stuff that can play on iPods. And without going into the whole article, it looks like the VCast music with Rhapsody, which is, you know, only available on select phones, might be actually a slightly better perk, mainly because it makes it easier for you to take it with you on the go if you already have that phone. But then again, it's all a matter of, and I think the big thing today has been, if you have the right player, then it's a huge plus for you. If you don't have it, you're kind of SOL.
Yeah.
And even then, the one thing that I think Zune had over Rhapsody, just to kind of, you know, sum it all up, it sounds like, if you give us a few free songs at the end of the month, it makes paying the $15 a little bit more tolerable.
Yeah.
Because I'm willing to pay $15 a month for a monthly service, especially if I can keep, you know, about 10 tracks. It'd be nicer if it was closer to 15, but hey, a dollar a track. But at the same time, you figure about a dollar a track for 10 tracks, and the extra $5 goes for just the convenience of having all these artists at my fingertips. I can go home, download whatever I want to there, sync it up, and, you know, it's right there on my music player for the next day.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a big plus, having with you on the go. But like I said, even having just the 10 songs, even if you're just using your computer, much the way I use Rhapsody when I actually had it, just listening at home, you can hook it up to your home media center if you go, if you're so inclined. You can create playlists.
Yeah,
that was the one nice thing with Rhapsody. But at the same time, I even remember Rhapsody being very buggy, and I'm surprised they didn't work that out.
Yeah, that's the one thing that it, when I did use it, when I was back 6 years ago, was nice if I had the time to sit, and the catalog is so huge that you can really spend hours just going and playing. Okay, I played this song. Oh my God, there's this, and it's like rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole. That's one of the nice things about it. But, being the stickler that I am, and with it, and that I can't use my iPod with it, and it really doesn't offer me much more than what I could do with an Amazon or an iTunes to buy songs. Yeah, it's really not that great. Also, songs you can buy, by themselves. They are about 99 cents. I believe some tracks were, I thought were like $1.29, and even the whole album is about probably $1 to $3 more than Amazon. Like I'm looking at A Place to Bury Strangers, Exploding Head, and that album is $9.99, I believe. On Amazon, most of the stuff is like $8.99 or $7.99. Mm-hmm. So really no incentive to use Rhapsody to buy it from them. It offers some perks here and there, but for the average on-the-go person who wants to listen to music on their iPod or on the go, I can't really recommend it. If you're a person that likes, you know, has the time to listen to music on your computer or plug it into your stereo system, it is nice to have. But, I think at the end of this month, I think we'll find a better subscription-based service than Rhapsody.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say, you know, Rhapsody has the mobile. Their mobile service that you can use with your phone. Of course, you know, you obviously need to have a data package with that. But the thing I was going to mention, though, the one cool thing, if you do have, especially the newer Zunes, which are more like the iPod Touches, you can actually use and download songs right to the Zune right via its Wi-Fi connection. So that's pretty cool. If you're at a Wi-Fi hotspot or just sitting around at home, you can go ahead and download those songs much in the same way that you would go ahead and download those songs with a touch over the iTunes network. So that is actually pretty neat. And since it's already part of your subscription, it won't cost you, unlike downloading from iTunes. So, all right. Yeah, like I said, there's gives, there's takes. Now, I don't have a fancy new Zune where I can actually do that cool stuff with, so I couldn't review that end of it. But like I said, I think it's definitely worth mentioning right here, right before we wrap it all up. Like I said, there's pros, there's cons. I think, the moral of the story for today is go ahead, look at what music player you have at your disposal, and then kind of make up your mind from there. See if it's actually going to work. That's because obviously that's going to put, if you have an iPod, obviously today was just a big waste of time for you. But at least now you know what some of the options are out there and what we're getting to. Now, I think next week we're going to go ahead and try to talk about, I think, one album and do another music service.
Yeah, was there a music service you were looking at?
Not in particular. How about an album?
Do you have have an EP. How about that? It's the EP that came out in November from the Animal Collective.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You were Fall talking Be about that. Kind. I said last week when we did our year-end wrap-up that I had heard good things about this, but hadn't got to it yet, so I figured, what the heck? Let's do that in the new year. Oh, and Happy New Year to all you. So, yeah, I think we'll do that, and we'll probably do one other subscription service next week.
Yeah, I think, you know what, unless you have any preference, Tom, you know, I think I'm going to try out Lala, because we were talking about it.
Yeah, I've used Lala searching for music. That's a nice thing with Google now. When you search, it pops up the Lala thing.
Yeah, Lala has been in the news because of their ties in with the Googles. So we'll talk more about that next week. So I think that'll be a good place to jump to next. There's tons of services out there that we're obviously not going to get to in this month. It might be something we revisit. It seems like every other week in the news, there's new developments. Like I said, with Lala or with Last FM going pay, same thing with Mog. I think we definitely need to talk about that too, with their service, what they offer. There's something new every couple months we're in a new place. We said this a thousand times before, that we're in a new place with the music industry where they have to figure out where they're going, how they're going to get there, and where they're going to get their revenue from, because obviously they're fighting an uphill battle with piracy. So let's figure this out. Let's try to make the monies and get people paid. And, well, anyway, like I was saying, There's going to be a ton of services we just don't have time to get to. So if anyone else has something that either they have experience with or they think is worth looking at, please go ahead and let us know. Please check us out at knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. That's our website. We can check out the latest podcasts as well as get links to stuff that, well, we didn't really talk about anything other than these music services. But usually when we talk about the artists or various news stories, we have links to those. But there are links to, at least, go ahead, if you want to drop us an email or do tons of stuff, start there first. Again, that's Know Nothing Music Show, KNOW, nothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. And like I said, subscribe to our feed. And next week, we're getting a little closer to on track. We're actually going to be discussing an album, but we're going to do another music service, Lala. So tune in, subscribe to our feed, put us in your podcatcher. And, oh, that was another thing I forgot to mention with Zune. I wasn't really happy with, because iTunes is the big one that if you want to subscribe to a podcast, there's always a link to subscribe via iTunes. Zune, not so much. And in iTunes as well, you can go ahead and type in a podcast, and it'll show you the link for it. Everyone is linked on iTunes. Everyone wants to be seen in iTunes. There is a podcast section in Zune But you know what? It's not very comprehensive, and it's nowhere. It has nowhere near the library as iTunes does. I definitely gone through it. Essentially, all the podcasts on my Zune that it checks for me, I had added manually. So now we're actually listed on Zune now. So if you have a Zune, you can check us out. Just type in Know Nothing Music Show. We're actually listed in the Zune podcast because I added us. And I think I had to add us twice.
I tried to add us on iTunes and it doesn't like it.
You know what? That was funky. It never worked right. But oh well. Like I said, that's something that I just thought of. So if you do have a Zune, you can at least add us via the Zune. Just Know Nothing Music Show. Add us to your podcatcher there. And like I said, it's not that great of a podcast, but you can add it all manually. You have to get the RSS feed and copy-paste that in there. It's a little more difficult if there isn't a Zoom button there, but it is very doable. All right, with that, we're just going to say goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Bye. Put that shit up in me pocket.